teaching us through the events recorded in the Bible just after Jesus arose from the grave. And we've been taking our time studying the verses that happen after that, looking at the people and the timings and events, going quite slow in order to learn what the Bible has and what the truth that's in there and what we can learn and see how we can apply these truths to our life to enact lasting change. Well, tonight we're going to place that study on a short pause for a few weeks. When Drew contacted me to speak this week, he's at the firehouse today, he told me, "Robert, just, I want you to choose something to teach." As I pondered for a couple of days, and you know, one day I was looking outside at the wildly unpredictable New Jersey weather, and a thought kept coming to the forefront of my mind. Goodbye, winter, and hello, spring. I mean, this last season has been quite something, huh? On three occasions, not one, and two actually standing right here, I've been caught wrong in saying, well, that's it. There's going to be no more snow, right? But nope, it just keeps coming back. And even when the temperature in my car said 45 degrees just over a week ago, I got in my car at work, it was snowing in the air. I mean, come on. Well, goodbye, winter, and hello, spring. And it couldn't come soon enough. Does everyone agree with me in here? Huh? I mean, winter has been brutal this year. Think about the poor people in Boston. They've had the record snowiest season ever. They had 108.6 inches through March 17th. They had the record snowiest month with 64.8 inches just in February alone. Two of the top 10 heaviest storms of all time hit them. The storm Juno, over 24, and Marcus, almost 24 inches, just from two storms alone. And in the first 3 months of this year, they were the coldest on record for two northern states, northeastern states, according to a report that just came out. Both Vermont and New York chalked up their coldest January through March period, according to the National Climate Data Center. The previous coldest first 3 months of any year in the Empire State was back in 1912. Well, in Vermont, this year tied its previous record back in 1923. In this article, you could actually see the statewide temperatures from January to March relative to every January and March all the way back to 1895. And according to that same National Climate Data Center, over those 120 years, New Jersey has only had two January through March periods that were colder. Oh. In fact, there have only been 5 months colder than this past February in 120 years in New Jersey. I mean, that deserves a super wow. I don't know if you felt it, but I did, and maybe it's because I'm getting older. Now, that's a tough winter. How would one describe such a tough winter, say, to someone who's in the desert or someone who hasn't experienced it, and especially this grueling one we've just had? Well, they might use words like it was cold, it was dreary, it was bleak and dismal. They'd probably describe what you could see visually, stating everything was barren. I mean, it was desolate. The roadside edges were stuffed with black, dirty, nasty sand and salt. It looked terrible. Well, they might say something like it was depressing and I was sad. Or they might shout out, this winter was harsh. It was isolating. It was utterly relentless. I mean, it never stopped. Or they could share the consequences of winter that brought about feelings of loneliness in them or numbness. As I was thinking more and more about winter, it led me to think about the terrible winter seasons that enter into our lives. Times in our life when our current situation feels a bit bleak and dismal. When we feel trapped in a bitter cold blizzard, perhaps even so much so that we lose hope in the promise of better things. Or maybe you're stuck in a winter season in your Christian faith. You're experiencing kind of a lull in your Christian growth. It's kind of gone dormant. And it's been so long that you feel like your faith is turning gloomy. And your faith is feeling bleak. Whether through the tormenting sin in our life or difficult circumstances or just the trials of everyday life as it comes at us, each of us experience a winter in our lives that can leave us feeling lonely and isolated from God. Well, tonight, it's time for each of us to say goodbye, winter, as we take lead from the change of seasons and we say, hello, spring. Now, hopefully on your way in tonight, you got an outline which you can use to follow along in our message. Now's a great time to take that out and turn your Bibles to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 4, which is the basis of tonight's message. While tonight's Bible text will be shown on the side screens, we always like for you to bring your Bibles. That way you can open it up. You might be able to, you know, get comfortable, but also you could take some notes in there. Maybe underline some words or put some comments in what God is speaking to you. So let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18. And I'm going to read this, and it'll be on the screen from the Message translation. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. At an early age, Eric Wall was told by his well-meaning teacher that art was not his strength. Being a disciplined student, then Eric listened. He put down his crayons and paintbrushes, and he didn't pick them up for another 20 years. In the meantime, he studied hard and he learned to play by the rules. Eric concluded that like most others, that strong grades, a solid college education, and a safe corporate job with predictable growth, well, that's going to be sufficient for me. But after 10 years in the corporate world, Eric could sense his talents were wasting away inside of him. However, it wasn't until he lost everything that he came to find himself. A heartbreaking death to everything that he had worked so hard to achieve was the birth of his story. In a time of self-reflection and frustration and anger, he became determined to break free from the cycle and the addiction of this security that he'd lulled himself into, that had destroyed his passion and kind of put him to sleep. So by intentionally going against the grain of this feeling, the early artist in him reawakened. He poured himself back into his new ideas, his writings, and his art with reckless abandon. And he spent his free time in the art community. In other words, art became his rehab. But Eric also quickly discovered that the art community, while it's good, it also has its limitations. And equally, it can be as frustrating. Although most artists had incredible ideas and vision, they lacked the practical application to really create a business actionable substance, he thought. They did not have the tools or the training to make a living. Their vision didn't translate and often kind of succumbed to the cliche of being secluded because the world didn't understand their vision. Then came the epiphany. We're all capable of so much more than we have been conditioned for. This is tremendous unexplored potential that exists by combining his analytical mind and his natural creative abilities. And he says, we can do the same. So shortly thereafter, the art of vision was born. Fearlessly determined to break through the system, Eric and his wife, Tasha, created a company capable of setting the captives of corporate America free, he says, from the same robotic, numbing path to which he'd fallen prey to. The rest of his story is yet to happen, but it continues to grow each and every day. Eric has dedicated his life and his passions to unshackle others from the similar chains that he had, that at one point or another they have, that have held them down. And he encourages us to rediscover our creative genius, the genius we were created for. Eric is an American graffiti artist. He's a speed painter. He's an author. He's a motivational speaker and an entrepreneur based in San Diego. He's now one of the most sought-after speakers in the world on the corporate lecture circuit. He's retained his raw, unbridled passion for his arts to channel his ideas in a fresh and entertaining way. And his book, entitled And Think, that you saw there, in 2013, was named the Business Book of the Year by CEO Reed. And I got to see him speak when I was in Orlando this past week at a conference I attended. Take a look at the video I took with my cell phone. We had to get it to play really strange.
Twist that landscape and ultimately unthink. two that no one has ever thought of before. I think that is the art of vision. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity.
Huh? I was literally from here to the front row in front of him. It was pretty awesome. He painted three different things for us and kind of gave us a bit of wisdom that God has given him. It was quite something. This brings us to our big insight for tonight. Westbridge, you and I need to unthink what we see going on around us. We need to unthink what we see going on around us. We see this truth captured inside tonight's scripture. Look again at verse 17 and 18. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. But there's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. Verse 17 tells us, you gotta unthink what's going on around you. There's far more here than meets the eye, the Bible tells us. And as it is with nature during the winter months, so as it is with our Christian lives. Amidst and underneath all that wintry mess going on in our lives, as Christians, you and I are being prepared by God for our spring. While things might seem dreary and bleak, God assures us that these times, we're protected. And he uses these times to prepare and strengthen us for the time after that winter season passes to bring forth renewed life in each of us. We need to weather the storm, and God gives us the power and strength to endure that part too. Matthew chapter 6, 25 and 26. Let me read 25 first. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? He's telling us, Jesus is saying, don't worry about your basic needs. There's bigger things going on in your life. He says in the next verse, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable than they are? These verses need to give you and I assurance that God is going to take care of us, that he's in control, especially in those winter times. So just how do you and I unthink? I mean, we've been conditioned for a long time. Well, let's go back to tonight's key verse that's written right on the top of your outline there. Chapter 4, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Allow me to share with you a few ideas, I think, which we need to unthink. And the first is to unthink your perspective. We need to change our viewpoint from one that is driven by our own vantage point, based on the here and now, to the one from God's vantage point. I don't know if you did the same thing I did, but as he was painting that last painting, it took me forever to figure out that it was Einstein. I was looking at it right side up. And when he flipped that, I got goosebumps because my perspective wasn't right. We need to change and unthink our perspective to one that's more relative to what God would have us. Let me read the New Living Translation version of verse 17 and 18. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. At times, we all experience emotional, physical, or psychological pain as we live for Christ in the world. And at such times, we wonder, can anything good come out of all this suffering, all this bad? But Paul insisted that good things come from bad situations. As he boldly proclaimed, Christ's message of salvation. Paul experienced a lot of persecution, and he suffered greatly for God. Yet in the midst of all that, he saw his suffering always with eternal benefit. He had eternal perspective and affected his attitude about everything he did. And he turned it into something for which Paul thanked God for. Whether believers suffer for the cause, for following Christ, whenever they do that, they're making deposits into this eternal account. Now, can we see our balance grow? Well, no, not really. Can we make an early withdrawal? Well, no, we can't do that either. But Paul promises that our suffering has eternal benefits that far outweigh what we're dealing with now. He also said this to the Romans in the letter he wrote that's entitled Romans, and that's found in chapter 8, verse 18. He says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." We also hear this from Peter, another one of Jesus' disciples, in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. "So be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus reveals himself to the whole world." While this Bible truth may not actually kind of relieve any of our pain, it does give us hope. And a hope that something good can come from something bad, and we can trust God in our winter seasons. If your faith has brought you to a hardship that hasn't passed, then ask God to help you unthink your perspective. And it's in this place he'll give you a new sense of hope, the hope with which Paul and Peter spoke of. Let's move on to the second area to unthink coming out of tonight's passage. Unthink your fear. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believed it, so I said it." We say what we believe, and we believe, and what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and into God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Paul tells us that we shouldn't give up. We can't have fear. We need to keep going. Nothing should stop us from going forward. The early modern period was an era of great change in the English language. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, their record, the number of words available to speakers of English more than doubled from the year 1500 to 1650. Many of the new words were borrowed from the Latin or the Greek out of the Renaissance, or they were from far-off lands as folks traveled, met with traders. And it must have seemed really hard to understand by a lot of people at that time with such growth. Now, a gentleman by the name of Robert Caudry was a schoolmaster, and in 1604, he made use of word lists published in earlier educational texts. Between 10 and 20 years prior, into what is generally regarded as the first English dictionary. Well, today the Oxford English Dictionary defines fear as this: it's a sudden and terrible event. Fear is the emotion of pain or uneasiness caused by the sense of impending danger or by the prospect of some possible evil. Defines fear as emotion viewed with regard to an object, the state of fearing something. And it defines fear as anxiety for the safety of a person or a thing. Right here, right now, tonight, I propose you and I unthink the definition of fear. Let's rewrite it into something totally different. Let's turn it upside down, just as we saw in the video with the picture of Albert Einstein. Let's set aside the dictionary definition of fear for another, And let's consider that fear is nothing more than an acronym that means this: false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Many times, it's not actually an event or a situation that causes anxiety, stress, or uneasiness. Most times in my life, I find it's actually the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown that causes me the most anxiety, the most difficulty to deal with and accept. A big one for me is financials. I mean, how long is my man van going to last before I have to get another car payment? How long will the furnace keep working? I mean, that thing must be 36 years old. This fall, both Lauren and Andrew are going to be away at college. And I think, what if I didn't do enough? What if I didn't do enough to prepare them for those next stages in their life? I mean, where did it all go? It seems like only yesterday we were playing in our backyard in Texas. If you don't remember anything out of tonight, remember that fear is not from God. It's from Satan. Just listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. With God on our side, you and I can definitely unthink our fear, because fear is not from Him. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? It says in Romans 8:31. Every time you feel fear in your life, unthink what you're seeing, because it's really false evidence appearing real, coming from the kingdom of darkness. And fear is a major weapon that Satan holds us captive with. He uses it to keep our focus on the here and now, to forget about the good things going on around us, and to keep our perspective on the bad things that are happening. He uses it to distract us from the direction that God would have us go in. And he uses it, this fear of change and uncertainty, to trick us into settling for who we are, rather than embark on the journey that God has for us to become who we were created to be. These were the lies that paralyzed Eric Wall for so many years, until God helped him to unthink his current situation. I read a quote this week from Stephen Pressfield from a book he wrote entitled The Art of War. Most of us have two lives, the life we live and the unlived life within us. Between the two stands resistance. Each one of us has one or more areas in our life that could be equated to being a winter season. Is your life and spiritual growth held hostage by a particular sin? Something you can't shake and has such an icy grip on you? Are you dealing with some health difficulties, either in yourself or with a loved one? It can be a difficult blizzard to accept and understand. Perhaps you've lost your job, or you're searching for another, and time continues to pass, and that season doesn't look like it has an end in sight. Maybe you're preparing for a big change. You're headed off to high school. You're headed off to college. You're done with college and you're entering the real world. And you aren't certain which path to travel down yet, as the snow continues to fall around you in this winter you're feeling. Or maybe you're dealing with a number of different things, some of these things tonight. Are you struggling with your self-worth? Maybe you've got some regrets you're having a tough time dealing with. There's some addictions you can't break. You have any difficulty forgiving those that have wronged you, taken advantage of you, betrayed you? Struggling with low self-confidence, the feeling of rejection, or just anxiety? Whatever your season is, as we close out tonight's service and we sing, ask God to help you unthink what you see going on around you. Ask Him to give you a new perspective, to unthink yours and to put in place His. To dispel any fear that you would have, let your words be loud and confident, just like the psalmist spoke in his words that were captured in verse 13. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. I believed it, so I said it. Don't keep it quiet any longer. Don't allow your winter to keep you bundled up, hunkered down. Don't let it keep you from entering your spring season and becoming who God created you to be. Ask him to help you deal with it. Then let it go. The past is in the past. Move forward with new energy, new strength, new life-gaining strength through the power of Christ. Tonight it's time to say goodbye, winter. Leave it all here. And hello, spring. If you know the words, sing along as we stand. If not, listen to what God thinks of you. Be renewed. Be refreshed. Be reminded. You are his beloved. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me? Dear Father God, we just thank you so much that you came for us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you love us. Father, we are your beloved. Thank you for reminding us of that tonight. As we leave, help us to gain a new perspective. Help us to see through your eyes. Help us to understand our worth. Help us to grow and become who you've created us to be. Help us to move forward away from the winter that's bringing us down. Father, keep us safe as we travel through it, but bring us to our spring. Help us to put whatever it is behind us. It won't always be spring, Father. We know that. But give us some relief. Give us some sunshine. We love you. In your name we ask, amen. See you next week, 6 o'clock, dinner and a movie.